Good evening. We have a new face tonight. Welcome.
Thank you.
How did you hear about us?
I found you on the web.
Uh-huh. It's happening more and more. Let's do introductions around.
Lauren.
Duncan. Sam. Susan.
Chris.
Wendy.
Julian.
Angie. We've been returning to the source in a way. We've been reading Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. We're about halfway through, I guess. We're on page 75 tonight. I wanted to tell you before we begin that I brought some material that you might be interested in looking at. These are photographs of Felsentor, where I was in Switzerland. These are two articles about Vanya that came out in German or Swiss magazines. This one is showing Vanya in the Zendo, looking very, very Zen, the real Zen master. And here is Vanya kissing the pig. That's Anton the pig. It's a very nice pig. Yes, it's a lot of work to feed him too. I helped while I was there.
He eats good though.
Yeah.
All the leftovers,
right. So you're welcome to come. It's all in German, so it's hard to read. He's getting all kinds of publicity these days. Some for the psychedelic project that he's got, that there's a new experimental, I guess it is, where they're working with cancer patients at the end of their life, using psychedelics to ease their way out of their pain and fear. So he had a television crew up interviewing him about that, and then another crew came and were interested in the animals, and then somebody else came and were interested in Zen. So he's very nervous about getting famous. He thinks it's a very bad idea, but it's happening. So, here they are for later. And this also. So page 75, I think that's right, is it? Mm-hmm. Called Limiting Your Activity. You want to begin?
Sure. Limiting your activity. Usually, when someone believes in a particular religion, his attitude becomes more and more a sharp angle pointing away from himself. In our way, the point of the angle is always towards ourselves.
In our practice, we have no particular purpose or goal, nor any special object of worship. In this respect, our practice is somewhat different from the usual religious practices. Joshu, a great Chinese Zen master, said, "A clay Buddha cannot cross water. A bronze Buddha cannot get through a furnace. A wooden Buddha cannot get through fire." Whatever it is, if your practice is directed towards some particular object, such as a clay, a bronze, or a wooden Buddha, it will not always work. So, as long as you have some particular goal in your practice, that practice would not help you completely. It may help as long as you are directed towards that goal, but when you resume your everyday life, it will not work.
You may think that if there is no purpose or no goal in our practice, we will not know what to do. But there is a way. The way to practice without having any goal is to limit your activity or to be too concentrated on what you are doing in this moment. Instead of having some particular object in mind, you should limit your activity. When your mind is wandering about elsewhere, you have no chance to express yourself. But if you limit your activity to what you can do just now, in this moment, then you can express fully your true nature, which is the universal Buddha nature. This is our way.
When we practice Zazen, we limit our activity to the smallest extent. Just keeping the right posture and being concentrated or sitting is how we express the universal nature. Then we become Buddha and we express Buddha nature. So instead of having some object of worship, we just concentrate on the activity which we do in each moment. When you bow, you should just bow. When you sit, you should just sit. When you eat, you should just eat. If you do this, the universal nature is there. In Japanese, we call it Ichigo Samadhi, or one at Samadhi. Samadhi or Samadhi is concentration. Ichigo is one practice.
I think some of you who practice Zazen here may believe in some other religion, but I do not mind. Our practice has nothing to do with some particular belief. And for you, there is no need to hesitate to practice our way because it has nothing to do with Christianity or Shintoism or Hinduism. Our practice is for everyone. Usually, when someone believes in a particular religion, his attitude becomes more and more a sharp angle pointing away from himself. But our way is not like this. In our way, the point of the sharp angle is always toward ourselves, not away from ourselves. So there is no need to worry about the difference between Buddhism and the religion you may believe in.
Joshua's statement about the different Buddhas concerns those who direct their practice towards some particular Buddha. What kind of Buddha will not serve your purpose completely? You'll have to throw it away sometime or at least ignore it. But if you understand the secret of our practice, wherever you go, and yourself, you yourself are boss. No matter what the situation, you cannot neglect Buddha because you yourself are Buddha. Only this Buddha will help you completely.
There's one. This is Sister Teresia, who's a Franciscan nun, who wears an okesa, a Buddhist robe. Over her own Franciscan robes. She sees no conflict at all.
I'm just wondering if it's that in here.
It was just us in the back here.
I see.
Are we okay?
No, I think it's on broil. I think we need you to cut it back.
Okay. Don't. Sorry, Angie.
Koban said about our practice, that it's a foundation practice. And from this practice, the experience that many different kinds of religion can be built on it. If we want, it's not essential, but it's the religions come from the basic experience. And then, as Theresia said, sometimes it gets lost. The original experience gets lost in the practice after many hundreds of years. So when she went to Assisi, she went as a pilgrim with no money. And she went to the monks and asked for a place to sleep, and they wouldn't take her in. So I think we keep coming back to the original over and over again in a practice like Zazen. And then we put fancy ideas around it, or very helpful and useful ideas that become more and more Baroque as the years go by. And then in some way we come back. Theresia said that she was ordained at the age of 19. And as she grew in her life and practice, as a nun, she became, she said, filled with bigger and bigger questions. Gross, gross Fragen, she said. And then one of the nuns, one of her friend nuns who worked with her with the drug addicts in Innsbruck, heard about a session and invited her to go to the session with her. And she said as soon as she sat down on the cushion, she just realized this was what was missing from her life. That it was not a contradiction to what she had spent her whole life devoted to, but it was where all of that came from. And so she maintains her practice as a nun, but is completely devoted to Zazen at the same time, and to Zen, which creates a big conflict for her. Last I heard, they were going to bring her back to the convent and not allow her to stay at Felsentor anymore. So, this is always good news. It's not a belief system. There's nothing we have to believe. And the kind of work we do is a kind of giving up work. As Suzuki says, having a goal, which is what Buddha did for a long time, for years. He had a goal. He was going to transcend. And it wasn't until he gave up and just sat down. Sat down with whatever was he ended up with. It's a very humbling experience because we're no great sheikhs a lot of the time. And when we sit down without distraction, without diversion, without being able to ignore our foolishness, then it all comes up. And it's also tremendous freedom. Just to let that goal-seeking mind rest for a while. It's tremendous freedom. We're not going anywhere. There's a lot of talk about simplicity, and limiting your activity certainly is one way of talking about how to simplify our life. We like to feel needed and busy. It's hard in this culture to be limited, to accept a limitation. But that too is tremendously, tremendous freedom. Concentrate and focus on just what it is that we're doing. I just read an article that Mel Shogun wrote about meeting Suzuki Roshi and how Suzuki Roshi was just doing one thing at a time, and he was so surprised by that. It was such an amazing thing to see. Here was a man who wasn't in a hurry, and he didn't rush. He walked slowly, he spoke slowly. I found at Felsentor when I was there, I came in a very speeded up way. I'd spent 4 days in New York City with my very speeded up son, and got to Felsentor and was very fast in a very slow place. And it was very awkward and hard for the first few days. I felt very big and clumsy. And of course, Europeans live in smaller spaces anyway, and they're more focused to begin with. And then in that atmosphere, they were even more so and very quiet. And I felt like I'd come barging in like a big muddy horse. And it was very helpful to slow down and be given the space to limit activity and simply be what's happening, and not try to leap into the next thing. So at the end, when Sister Teresia was the Shuso, and I asked a very thoughty kind of intellectual question, I said, you're always talking about how everything is one. We are all one. I said, in Zen we say not one, not two. How about that? She just looked at me and she slammed down her pole, her staff, and she said, now, just now. We can limit our activity in that way. It can be a very full life. Very rich and full life. Just now. questions, comments? Yes.
Where did the nun sleep when the monks wouldn't let her sleep there?
She went to the church and slept in the church. She also went to the there are two churches there and a baptistry too, I think. She went first to the monks, and then she went to the church of Claire, who was the partner of Francis. And the nuns charged money to go into the church and wouldn't let her in because she didn't have any money. And then she went to the big church, the beautiful church with all the paintings on it, and found a place to slip in there and sleep. She was very philosophical about it, but she's a very progressive mind, really quite radical mind, I think, for what her background is. She told about how some of the nuns come to visit from their missionary gigs in South Africa or South America, and how much they love it in South America and can't wait to go back when they have to come home. And I asked her if she ever was interested in going to South America and doing that kind of work. She looked at me and she said, "We have no business going over there and telling those poor people some all these stories. They already have their own stories. They already have their own traditions. We don't have to go and give them some new way of thinking about things."
Something about living in the moment has always bothered me. And if one question is, suppose you're the Tenzo. How can you live in the moment, purely in the moment, when you have to plan what to make for lunch?
You're planning in the moment. That is your moment.
But aren't you looking forward to one?
Sure, you have to. It's all connected. You can't separate yourself from what came before and what's coming next. It's already happening as you move about your life. It's that mostly we're not anywhere near the moment. We're, you know, off in some kind of judgmental mind or regretful mind or jealous or, you know, all the things that we build up on top of the sort of basic effort that we make, the activity that we're involved with. But, of course, we have to plan. The trick is not to get attached to any of our plans. So as everything changes, we change too. So if the soup goes wonky, you add a little water and juice it up a little bit with something else and, you know, just keep adjusting. Sometimes I think our whole life is just adjusting and adjusting and adjusting as we go. time flies. Is there anything else?
And your question, the place where you went, is that the place where Kogan and his daughter passed away?
It's close to it. It's on the other side of the lake from it.
And did you actually see that area?
No. You know, Vanya every time says he's going to take me over there, and he never has. Some of Kogan's ashes are buried over there. Some of them are buried at Felsentor, where I was. some are at Jikoji, some are in Japan, some are in New Mexico. I mean, he's all over. But where he died, I still have not seen. It's Vanya's country house, close to the ski slopes. He has a house in town in Lucerne, but this is his country house. One of these days, I'll get him to take me there, but it hasn't happened yet. You'll have to come and see.
I'm just that story, just this end master and his daughter passing away. I just in my mind figure out how that can work. I'm sure if he would have saw the area.
It was very cold water and shock, I think.
Did you ever just hear a story the other day about a Zen master that sits in a pile of ice for some unbelievable amount of time that controls the heat in the body? How that Zen master, like Kogan, could have used the occasion to save himself.
Well, Zen masters are human too. Fallible too.
His daughter went first, right?
Yes, he was trying to save his daughter.
And how could you gather your whatever it is when your kid is gone?
I don't know, that's why if you would have saw the area, I guess you could have that perspective. You would think after years of studying that you'd have some control of the universe being as a master.
No. Sorry.
No special powers.
No special powers. I mean, the Tibetans do that. They train, some of the young monks train up in the up at 18,000 feet, sit out in the snow, start naked with a wet sheet around them, and dry the sheet overnight in the snow. Some professors from Harvard went out there all bundled up in, you know, with hats and scarves and everything, and they just about froze to death. And they couldn't believe it when these young guys came walking down from way up where they had been, and everything was dry and they were fine. So it's a yogic thing. That Dalai Lama said not everybody can do that, that it's a special talent that some people have, and they thought the Harvard people were kind of funny. I went to that monastery once, and they still are laughing about those guys and how they hooked them all up with wires and tried to measure what was going on. But Zen doesn't aim for anything special like that. And Buddha didn't either. No. It's much more about how to live our life as we are in our moment. That's the most crucial thing. To connect with the Buddha that he's talking about in here. Our Buddha. Our nature.
If I remember correctly, like last time people were talking about Kobin, there were some, I don't know, I call it special, like, incidents, like he did a backflip, or I forgot the exact story.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, just, like, you know, just...
Yes. He had trained in karate, I guess, and he was digging a trench and fell into the trench, and instead of just crashing, he sort of flipped and ended up on his feet again, I think, is what Arthur said.
Right.
Yes.
Big smile.
With a big smile, yeah. Yeah, he was a pretty sharp guy. It's not that he was, but he was not superhuman. It was a good way for him to die. It was very fast. It's tragic for us, but not for him. Still tragic for us. It